Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
And if you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Acts 2:17, we're also going to be looking at Genesis 22, verses 17 through 18. We're continuing our vision series for 2023, titled Heart for the House. Heart for the House, because God has a heart for His house, and if we love God and follow Him, we're going to have a heart for His house as well. Amen. And today's message is titled Enlarge Our Hearts. Enlarge Our Hearts. And as I open, I want to share with you a funny story that I read about a frog that went to see a fortune teller. Now, of course, as Christians, we would never do that because we know that's of the devil. Amen? But apparently this frog was not a Christian, all right? So the frog went to see a fortune teller, and she looks into her crystal ball, and she says, I see that you are going to meet a very beautiful young girl who will want to know everything about you. The frog gets all excited and he asks, will I meet her at the high school party? No, said the fortune teller. Next semester in biology class. It'll catch up with some of you in a moment. But that's not the kind of vision we want to have, amen? As I said, we're in our vision series for 2023, A Heart for the House, and our theme verse is actually Acts 2:17, which talks about how things change when the Spirit comes upon the church. And it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And so he talks about how the Spirit of God is going to be working in every person in the church, men, women, young, old. And God is saying that when the Spirit comes upon us, it changes us. It changes what we see, and it changes what we say. Amen. What we see will be based upon the vision that He reveals by His Spirit, and we will begin to speak forth that vision in everything we say and do. The effect of God's Spirit in our lives is that we will see what God sees, and we will say what God says. Now, in John 4, Jesus spoke to a religious leader. And he said, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom. In essence, you can't see the activity of God. You can't see what God is doing unless you have been born again, unless you've been made spiritually alive. And we know that that happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. But he's saying that if you have not been born again, you can't be aware of God's plans, God's best, God's purpose, unless there's something spiritual that is at work in your life. So you have got to welcome the Holy Spirit and ask Him to work in your life and enable you to see what God is seeing and do what God wants you to do. And God wants to give you a vision for your life, for your spiritual growth, for your family, and of course, for His house, for His church. And a vision comes from God over our life so that we're not just marking time, and we're not just crossing days off on a calendar, and we're not just punching a clock and saying, well, I just showed up, that's good enough. No, we're saying, you know, I have a greater purpose. There's something bigger that God wants to do in and through my life. And many times God has to stir us and awaken us and show us something different from what we are currently living so that we can grasp what God wants to do, so that inside of us can enlarge, so that inside of us can get bigger. Today we're going to look at how God did that with Abraham, called the father of faith. And not only was he the father of faith, but he was also the father of many nations. But it was not always that way for Abraham. In fact, he was childless until he was 100 years old. In Romans 4:19, it tells us that Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb, his wife's womb, was also dead. In essence, Abraham faced the fact that the baby-making factory was permanently closed. There was no way. But we're going to pick up his story in Genesis 22, verses 17 through 18. God appears to Abraham and says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants. This man is childless. His wife is barren. I will bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations will be blessed because you have obeyed me. You know, that prophecy, that promise that God gave to Abraham was about Jesus. He would ultimately be Abraham's seed through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Why? Because Jesus would bring salvation for the whole world, the blessing of salvation for every human being. And the descendants that would be as numerous as the sky and as the sand on the seashore, in its immediately spoke of the fact that the nation of Israel would flow from Abraham's descendants. But beyond that, it spoke about the nations of the world that would come to salvation. Amen? Millions, billions of people through the ages who have come to salvation. They have received the blessing of Abraham's seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what an incredible vision that God gives to Abraham, this elderly individual, this senior citizen. Senior citizens, don't count yourself out. God still has something great that he wants to do through your life. Amen? And God gives him this great vision. And God has a vision for us as well, and he has a vision for his house. God has a heart for his house, and he started building his house all the way back with Abraham, because it is from that promise that the church would eventually be birthed. And God's vision for his house is expansive. It is to include all the people of the earth, that they might experience salvation, that they might become his people, and that they might experience the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, as we read in Acts 2:17, that they might see his vision and be empowered to fulfill it. And God laid the foundation for the building of his church with Abraham. And he had to stir and awaken something in Abraham, because when God first made that promise to Abraham, Abraham had no children and the situation seemed hopeless. It seemed impossible. But God came to Abraham and God says, I have something to say to you, Abraham. I have something to show you, and I want you to get this in your spirit, because I'm going to bring forth something from your life that is going to be so expansive that you cannot even count it. You cannot even imagine. And that's what God is saying to us today as well. And something I want us to see from Abraham's experience is that God's vision is always so much bigger than anything that we can conceive. God's vision will always be bigger than our vision, than anything that we could dream or imagine on our own. Abraham, at this point, was just concerned about having one son. He just wanted to have an heir. God says, I'm going to do something bigger than one son. Now, mind you, having one son at that point seemed impossible. But God comes to Abraham, he says, I'm going to do something that's going to blow your mind. You're wanting just one kid, but I'm telling you that I'm going to do something that is going to be so unimaginable. Look up at the sky, Abraham. You see how many stars are up there? Your descendants are going to be innumerable, greater than the number of stars in the sky, greater than the sand on the beach. Amen. When God begins to reveal his vision to us, it is often so much bigger than anything we can conceive, so that it seems unbelievable to us. We stand there and we say, God, that's impossible. How can that happen? Look at presently who we are. Abraham's probably saying, God, I'm 100 years old. My body's dead. And so we look at the little we have, or the weak things that we have, and we see the vision of God and we say, God, there's no way. It's impossible. And God says, look at what I want to do through you. And we're kind of like, what? Me? Who? How? But this is how God works. If it was something we could do, then we'd take all the credit. And it wouldn't be a God thing. God's vision is always so much bigger than anything that we could imagine and anything that we could accomplish. And God wants to stretch our faith to believe for bigger things. That's how God started stretching Abraham's faith, and he started making Abraham think bigger. Now, I want you to know something. When God first gave this vision to Abraham, Abraham was 75. But you know what? Abraham's faith had to grow. It had to enlarge in him. And sometimes it's the trials that we go through that help to enlarge our faith. So for 25 years, waiting on God, things seeming impossible, faith was enlarging in his heart because God came to him time and again and renewed the promise. Wow. He kept coming back and saying, Abraham, I know you're trying to do this thing over here with Hagar and her son, but I made you and Sarah a promise, and I'm still going to keep it. And God kept enlarging his faith. Stretching his faith. And he set Abraham on a path of believing for bigger things. He started enlarging Abraham internally before anything changed externally. And folks, if we want to see the vision of God for this house accomplished, something has got to enlarge on the inside of us. Our faith has to be stretched internally before we ever see it externally. When God has a desire for us that is bigger than where we are living right now, he starts placing something in our heart, something in our mind that enlarges us on the inside to grow and believe and become dissatisfied with what is, because we know that there is so much more that God desires. And we start dreaming about, oh, what if this happened? And oh, what if we did this? And what can be, because God has put a vision in our heart as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. God has given a great big vision for new life, to be a vision, to be a church not contained within walls, but reaching into every sector of our community with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. To produce fully devoted followers of Christ who love God, love one another, love to serve, and love the lost. Because those are the four marks of a true disciple. If you're truly following Christ, those four things are going to characterize your life. And that's the goal, that's the aim to which we minister. That's the purpose for which we minister, is to produce those who would fully follow Christ in all of these ways. God wants us to impact this area. God wants us to bring in a harvest of souls in our job. See, when we talk about reaching into every sector of our community, we're talking about reaching into the school where you teach teachers. We're talking about reaching into the hospital where your nurses, where your doctors. We're talking about reaching into the office and the business where you work, where you're employed. We're talking about reaching into your condo association, reaching into your neighborhood, reaching into your grocery store, because we are God's arms extended into this community. And as all of us begin to grasp the vision and rise up in faith and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can make a difference in South Florida for the kingdom of God. Amen. God has given us a great vision, but every one of us has to get it in our spirit, and our faith on the inside has to enlarge so we can begin to step out in obedience and do what God is calling us to do. Now, a second principle we learn from Abraham is that God's vision calls us to live in the future tense. God's vision calls us to live in the future tense. God wants us to start living in the future now. Everybody has a smartphone nowadays. How many of you have a smartphone? Amen? Now, I know that that's a lie, that only 20% of you have a smartphone. How many? It's not a trick question. How many of you have a smartphone? Okay, great, great. I know it's about 100%. Amen? And the good thing about a smartphone is that when you change time zones or when you have daylight savings time, guess what? Your phone automatically changes. It updates to the new time zone. Amen? So when daylight savings time comes around in 2 weeks' time, your phone will automatically reset and you won't end up attending bedside assembly with Pastor Pillow and Sister Sheets. Amen? You'll be able to get here on time. Praise God. Hallelujah. But in prehistoric times, I mean pre-smartphone times, when I traveled to California or when I went to Asia on missions trips or some other time zone where, you know, the hours were significantly different, I used to change my watch before leaving so that my mind would begin to adapt to the change and get in sync with the time where I was going so I wouldn't be too wiped out with jet lag when I got there. Amen? That's what God wants to do internally to us. He wants to reset our spiritual clock so that we are living in the future tense. We're not holding on to the past. You know, the past is wonderful. We thank God for those blessings. We learn from the past, but we need to embrace the future and we need to start living in the future tense. We need to start living with where God is calling us to go. That's what God was doing in Abraham. God was setting his spiritual clock forward, and he's saying, I want you to see beyond just the son that I'm going to give you. I want you to see way down the line. I want you to see an offspring so numerous that it's more than the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. God was saying, Abraham, you may not have any kids right now. Your body may be dead right now. Sarah's womb may be barren right now. But I have a promise over your life. And I want you to see the vision that I have for your life. I want you to see the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. And know that that doesn't even compare with what I'm going to do through you. Hallelujah. God was saying, I want you to know that this is how I'm going to multiply you, even though not even one grain of sand or one star of the sky seems possible to you right now. Not even one child seems possible to you right now. That's what God was doing for Abraham. And that's what God wants to do for us. He wants to set our spiritual clock forward. Because you know, right now, we can sit around and we can lament and we can look at what is and we can say, oh God, you know, our church is not as big as it used to be. We don't have as many people as we used to have. And I'll be honest with you, there's times I've sat around and done that because I'm human. But God has to keep calling me forward. And God has to keep saying, but I have a vision for this house. And I've made a promise to you for this house. Amen? Because sometimes we can look around and we can say, you know what? Things look so small now. Things look so weak now. Things look so impossible now. But we forget the God that we serve. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And God wants to set our spiritual clock forward so that we are living in the future tense, seeing the vision that God has proclaimed over us. We need to believe the vision is done even before it is accomplished. God gives us a vision. He gives us a passion, a desire. He does it at the personal level, right? He gives us a vision for a particular career. He gives us a vision for the family that he wants us to have. He gives us a vision for the personal ministry that he has for us. Or he might give us a vision for reaching a lost loved one or a lost friend. And you have to latch on to that promise before it ever happens. Just like God has given a vision for this church, and we have to embrace it and hold on to it, even though it has not been fully accomplished. In Genesis 17:5, God says, listen to this. No longer will your name be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. Realize he still does not have a son. And at this point, Abraham is in his 80s. He would be 100 before he has that son. But God says to him, I call you Abraham. The name Abraham means father of many nations. And God says, from now on, your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Look at that. Not I'm going to make you. Future tense. I have made you. What was God saying? It's already done, even though you don't see anything that says it's done. Hallelujah. But God was saying, Abraham, get this in your spirit, because I have willed it. It is already accomplished. I have already made you a father of many nations. Hallelujah. Folks, when God says it, it'll be done. I have made you. He showed Abraham the sand and the stars to help elevate Abraham's thinking, to help get Abraham thinking on the level of what God's will and intentions were for his life. Rather than just looking around at what is and saying, nope, I'm in my 80s, then I'm in my 90s, then I'm 100. And look at my wife. My wife is too old. She couldn't have a baby when she was a spring chicken, much less now. So Abraham starts looking around. He says, I got to find somebody else to be my heir. So he starts looking around at what is. And first he says to God, let my servant Eliezer be my heir. And God comes back again and he reinforces his promise and says, Abraham, I'm going to bring forth a son from you and Sarah. A few years later, Abraham starts looking around again at what is. And he talks to his wife, and his wife says, take Hagar, my servant, and have a baby by her. And when that whole fleshly thing goes down, God comes back and says, Abraham, I gave you a promise. And this child is the child of the flesh. There is still a child of the promise to come. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. You know, because sometimes we try to help God along, don't we? God bless our soul. We say, okay, well, God, I believe the vision, but maybe I need to help you along. But what we do is so inferior to what God can do. Amen? Hallelujah. And God says to Abraham, I want you to see beyond what is. I want you to think bigger. I have made you a father of nations. And he told him this some 20 years before his son Isaac would ever be born. So for 20 years, this vision, 25 years actually, this vision was percolating in Abraham's soul. This vision was stirring in his spirit. Hallelujah. And from that day forward, every time someone called Abraham's name, Abraham, it was a reminder of God's promise. They were saying, father of many nations. And it stirred something inside of Abraham. Folks, what's that telling us? It's telling us that we have got to maintain a faith position no matter what we see around us, because God has declared Abraham over us. Hallelujah. You've got to have a vision for something more, for something bigger, for something more than your parents or your family. For something more than what anybody else spoke over your life. Because God says, I have made you. Amen. Hallelujah. If God put a vision, if God put a passion, if God put a dream in your heart, he wants that thing to come to life. He declares, I have made you. The moment it comes out of his mouth, it's already accomplished. I have made you, although it was not yet manifest. And you know, God always uses the unlikeliest people. Why didn't God pick a young couple? Go ahead. Or why didn't God give the promise back when Abraham and Sarah first got married? Because you know what? If they'd had a baby, they'd have been, we had this baby. Because we're young, we're in love, we're viral. No. God brought it to the point where it looked impossible. He picked the unlikeliest people, some senior citizens, to birth his plan. Hallelujah. Folks, I know young folks nowadays, they have a way of discounting seniors, you know, and they're discounting anybody that's beyond the age of 30, because to them, that's a senior citizen. But you know what? Every single person at every age has value to the kingdom of God. And young folks, don't discount older folks. They have something to say into your life. You better tell the truth. because they have the experience of the years, the experience of trusting God, the experience of having their faith tried. And they can speak something into your life that another young person cannot. But that's just an extra sermon. There's no extra charge. But you know what? God always picks the unlikeliest people. You know, I read in the book of Judges where God, the Midianites have oppressed the children of Israel for years, and they're crying out for deliverance. And so God comes down to deliver them, and he picks this man named Gideon. But Gideon's not a warrior. He's not a general. Gideon is a farmer, and he's hiding, threshing his grain so that the Midianites don't come down and steal his harvest. So he's in hiding. He is in fear, and God appears to him and says, "Thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon is like, "Who are you talking about?" You know, because Gideon knows he's not a courageous man. But that's who God chose. And the reason God chose him is because when the victory did come, then all the glory was going to go to God. So God says, yeah, you, Gideon, I'm calling you, and I'm going to use you to be the deliverer of Israel. And then God used a girl named Ruth, who was an idol worshiper. And God used a man named Moses, who stuttered, but he used him to be a deliverer to a nation and the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. T.D. Jakes, one of the most prominent preachers of this generation, has often shared how as a child he was afraid to talk because he was such a stutterer. And he said that problem has never gone away. But it's hard to believe that he has a problem with stuttering when you see him preaching before thousands of people. And even though he has this speech impediment, he latched on to the vision that God had placed in his heart, and he, by faith, was enlarged inside to step out and begin walking in the vision that God had for him. Folks, I want you to understand, God is not limited by our limitations. No matter what you lack, no matter what we lack as a church, no matter what we don't have, we need to grasp a hold of the fact that God can and will fulfill the vision that he has placed in our heart, because he can do the impossible. There is nothing impossible for him. So God gives us those sand and star moments where God shows us something incredible. And God says, "You see this? This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it through you." Woo! Hallelujah. When God placed it in my heart to start this church almost 32 years ago, he impressed on me that in our first year, we were going to have 200 people. And we were looking around for seating, and the seating was way too expensive because, you know, we were just starting, and chairs are very expensive. And I was going to auctions, school auctions, airport auctions, anywhere I could. But, you know, when you don't have, like the Islanders say, two penny to knock together, anything is too expensive, you know. And so I was sharing with some of our denominational leaders, because when you're a home missions church, you have to get their approval for expenditures and what you're doing. And so I was sharing with them, and I was saying, you know what, God has given me a vision that we're going to have 200 people in our first year, and we need to get 200. Chairs. And they kind of pat me on the back and they said, "Oh, Sister Kalia, you know, we just admire your passion, and that's wonderful, but that's not really the way things work. You'll be fortunate if you get 50 people your first year. But I want you to know something. Within a year, I'd actually say within 6 months of opening this church, we were running 200 in attendance, and those that have been with us for 30 years will tell you so." And about the chairs, when I spoke to our denominational leaders, they had said, "You know, there's a church over here renovating, and they have five pews that they're getting rid of. Five pews will seat about 50 people. They'll donate that to you." And I said, "No, God has spoken to my heart that we're going to have 200 people." And so I graciously declined that. But I still didn't know where we were going to get 200 chairs from. Amen? But we were meeting weekly in prayer meetings. I asked our prayer group to pray that God would provide. And just a few weeks before we started our service, I walked into the church where I was serving in Miami. They were helping to mother our church. And the secretary had just picked up the phone. And she said, "Oh, yeah, Sister Maria, I just walked in." And she handed me the phone. And there was a lady on the other side of the phone. And she said to me, "Did I understand correctly that you're about to start a church in the South Broward area?" And I said, "Yes, in Pembroke Pines." She said, I heard that, and I've been praying for you. And she said, "Ever since I've been praying for you, God's been putting it on my heart that I'm to buy you 200 chairs." But my husband is not saved. And he is the only breadwinner. And he gives me a hard time even about coming to church and reading my Bible and what have you. She said, "So I don't know how this can possibly happen." So I said, "Well, you know what? If God is in it, God is going to do it." So I said, "Let me pray for you that God will give you the wisdom, that he'll give you the right timing and the right words to speak, and that God will prepare his heart." Now, this man was a big wig official, a millionaire in Miami. He later on, many years later, got brought up on, it's not just fraud charges, but it's when when it's related with the mob. I can't remember what the name of it. But anyway, he was brought up on those kinds of charges, and he ended up being convicted and sent to prison. But I don't care, because God will even use the devil to provide. Amen? So, I prayed with her, hung up, and a few days later, not only did we have a check for $5,247 to buy 200 brand new chairs, but in the interim, while we waited, he had a connection with a catering company, and they were going to loan us 200 chairs so that we could launch our church on the date that we had scheduled to launch, and we could keep those chairs until our chairs came. Amen. Can you say praise God? God is so good. Amen. We want to limit God, and we say, "God, there's no way that this can happen. God, this looks impossible," but there is nothing impossible with God. And when God has spoken it, he will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And folks, I'm preaching to myself, because sometimes I got to remind myself of that as well. Amen?
Amen.
And it doesn't matter who doesn't believe in what God has placed in your heart. It doesn't matter if other people say it can't be done. I had denominational leaders telling me that's impossible. If God spoke to you, if he has shown you the stars and the sand, keep believing, no matter who does or does not stand with you. Hallelujah. Because if God has spoken it, it will come to pass. I have made you a father of many nations. Don't let anybody crush that vision. You got to believe God. Romans 14, the latter part of verse 16 into verse 17. Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scripture means when God told him, "I've made you the father of many nations." See, it wasn't just talking about Israel. It's talking about all who believe, talking about us. "I have made you the father of many nations." And this happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Or as the King James says, calls things that are not as though they were. "I have made you the father of many nations." I have a vision for new life to bring many nations to God. Hallelujah. Many people of different backgrounds. Amen. God has spoken it. And we've got to believe that he's a God that calls things that are not as though they were. He's a God who brings the dead back to life. He's a God who creates new things out of nothing. Hallelujah. We've got to trust God. And when he has given us a vision, we've got to say, "I don't know how you're going to get us there, God, but I believe, I believe, I believe that you can do it." I don't listen to secular music, but there is a song that if you've lived any time at all, I'm sure that you have heard it somewhere, been exposed to it somewhere, and that is a song called Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Anybody ever heard it? All right. Aretha Franklin made that song a classic hit, and it is one of the most celebrated R&B songs of all time. It debuted at number one, and it won two Grammys. But do you know that she was not the first person that recorded that song? 2 years earlier, the song was recorded by a man named Otis Redding. But his version never attained the popularity that Franklin's version did. Her version was better than the original version. And I'm praying in my spirit that God will implant the vision that he has given for this house in each of your hearts. The vision of a church not contained within walls, reaching into every sector of our community and the world in the love of Christ with the life-changing gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit to produce fully devoted followers of Christ who love God, love one another, love to serve, and love the lost. And I'm praying that that vision, the seed of that vision, would be implanted within your soul, that you would embrace it, that you would grasp it, and that your version, as you carry it out, would be better than anything that I could ever imagine. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. I pray that the passion of faith that I have for Jesus Christ and his word would pale in comparison to the passion that you will have for your relationship with God and for his vision to be fulfilled, so that it'll stand for generations to come, so that this church will stand for generations to come should Jesus tarry. So that it will be like the Aretha Franklin version that still remains the best version of that song. May God's vision endure in your hearts and in your faith and in your actions to touch generations to come should Jesus tarry. See, that's the importance of having a vision. The vision God gave Abraham extended generations forward to the first coming of Jesus. And it extended beyond that to us, because he is the father of faith to all who would believe. So we were included in that vision. We have been blessed by that promise of salvation, the seed of Abraham, who would be a blessing to all nations. And Abraham is called our father, the father of faith. And we are the sand, and we are the stars that God showed Abraham. Multiplied millions who have come to faith in Christ. And that vision is continuing to be fulfilled today. Genesis 15:5 says that God brought Abraham outside and said, "Look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. So shall your descendants be." God gives us a vision. And sometimes we just have to look up and stare at that vision. And we have to believe what God has spoken. We have to look beyond what is. We have to look beyond our limitations. We have to look beyond our weakness. We have to look beyond the impossibilities that stare us in the face. And we have to gaze on God and what he is showing us. Every time I get groceries at Walmart on Sterling and Douglas, it's just a few blocks away from our church property. And so on the way home, I make a right turn on Sterling, and I pass by the church property. And I stare at it, and I pray. I stare at it as much as I can without meeting an accident. And I pray, and I say, "God, you gave us that land, and you have given us a vision for what you're going to do through new life. And I'm counting on you, God. I'm believing you to do it." Folks, you have to look beyond what is. I look at that land and I see the people. I see the families. I see the children. I see the young people that one day will come to Christ and be ministered to in that church. You have to look beyond what is. You have to let go of what was. And you have to live in the future tense to move into the promise that God has given. Jesus said you can't put new wine in old wineskins. Amen. The new wine is alive in the sense that it is expanding as it ferments. Amen. And as God places his vision in our heart, it needs to expand. It needs to ferment in our soul. And we need to begin moving in the new of what God desires to do. And it requires letting go of what is so that we can embrace what God desires to do. We need to fix our mind and our heart on what God has said. We need to fix our mind and our heart on what God has shown us as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the sea. That's a vision of expansion. It's a vision of something bigger. It's a vision of something greater. And it requires new wineskins, a fresh faith. Hallelujah. God is calling us into new wineskin thinking. So we have a vision to extend our reach and influence beyond these four walls. God has given a vision for us to reach this community and the world for Christ. And he's calling each of us to expand our thinking beyond what is, to what he desires to do. He's going to raise some of you up to be evangelists in this community. He's going to call some of you to be preachers, to be pastors. He's going to call some of you to start Bible studies in your neighborhood, in your condo association, on your work during lunchtime. I used to do that when I worked a secular job. And several people came to Christ. He's calling you to raise you up to fulfill his vision in this time. He's calling us now to act in line with what he is showing us he desires to do. He changed Abram's name to Abraham, father of many nations, before he even had one son. We need to act now in line with the vision. We must step up and get involved in ministry now, because right now we need to expand our ministry teams. Amen? We need to expand our children's ministry team. We need to expand our first impressions, our ushers and greeters team. We need to expand our media ministry teams, live stream, projection, camera. We need to expand those teams. We need to expand our evangelism teams. More people going out on Saturdays to share Jesus Christ with our community. We need to grow the ministry teams of our church. And if God is putting on your heart to get involved, which he should be putting that on the heart of every Christian, because a characteristic of being a follower of Christ, love God, love one another, love to serve, love the lost. So if you're not yet serving, I encourage you to get involved serving. Take the blue Connect card on the church pew in front of you. Fill it out on the front, on the back. Check what ministry you'd like to be involved in, and we'll get one of our ministry leaders in touch with you to get you connected. But we need to expand our ministry team. We need to step up in prayer, interceding and praying for God to pour out his spirit in our church, to stir hearts, to rise up and get involved in ministry. And so I encourage you, whenever we have, you know, one of our prayer services, I encourage you as much as possible to come out. But I also encourage you to be praying and interceding for the church at home. Amen. And in whatever groups you meet together with, we want to pray for every believer in this body to be raised up as a witness for Christ, empowered by the Spirit. We want to pray for a harvest of souls in the area. So we need to step up our prayer. We need to step up our giving. If every person that attends this church regularly would just do the minimum of what God commands us to do, and the minimum of what God commands us to do is to give 10% of our income to the ministry of his house. If we just did that, we would be able to expand ministry. We'd be able to get into our building in much shorter order. And the past year, you know, we upgraded our equipment. We had been using outdated sound and lighting equipment that was like 20 years old. And to improve our in-person services and our online worship experience, we had to upgrade our equipment. That alone cost us more than $55,000. And it was because of your giving, your faithful giving, that we were able to do that. But there's so many things. In the future, we need to start a Spanish translation ministry again, which we had before COVID, because our area is turning more and more Hispanic. And when we go out on Saturdays, we're encountering more Spanish people. And we need to be able to invite them somewhere where they can be ministered. minister too. So if you speak Spanish and God is stirring in your heart to get involved, we would love to have you involved in our Spanish translation ministry. Eventually, we are praying that God would enable us to have a Spanish pastor and start a Spanish service. So that's something that will need prayer, and it's something that will need finances to do. So these are some of the steps that we need to take in the future to be able to fulfill the ministries that God has for us. Eventually, we'll need someone to develop a team to respond to those that we're ministering to online, so that the moment that they're getting saved, somebody can respond to them, so that we can even have a prayer line where if they want to call in and they can get prayer right then and there. These are some of the steps that we need to take to get where God is calling us to go. Amen? And we have to begin praying for that. We need to begin giving for that right now, so that we can be ready to move when God says move. But these are just some of the incremental steps that we need to take to get where God is calling us to go. But before we can be a part of God's vision, or before we can even see God's vision, Jesus says we must be born again. We must be born of the Spirit. So we need to place our faith in Jesus and repent of our sins. And we have all sinned, and sin cuts us off from God. It causes us to be spiritually dead. But when we repent of our sins and place our faith in Jesus, that very moment we're born again, we're made spiritually alive, and we are able to see the kingdom. We're able to see the activity of God, to see what God is doing. And He wants to have a relationship with you, and He wants to speak to you His vision for your life, along with His vision for His church. And so if you're here today and you have not yet given your heart to Christ, or maybe you did so years ago and you've drifted away and you know that you need to come back, I want to encourage you to pray a simple prayer with me. Likewise, online, if you want to give your heart to Christ, if you want to be born again, if you want to be able to see the kingdom and be a part of what God is doing in this world, I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. And I believe that You love me so much that You died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sin, and I turn to You in faith. I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins, and I invite You to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We want to welcome you to the family of God. If you just prayed that prayer, you just made the best decision of your life, and we are so happy for you. And we want to encourage you to do one more thing, if you would. If you're here in-house, if you would just text I prayed to the number on the screen. Online, type I prayed, because we want to send you free of charge a little booklet that will help you understand the prayer you just prayed and the next steps that you can take to keep growing in your relationship with the Lord, because that prayer was a beginning, not an ending. Amen. It's the beginning of a lifelong journey of following and learning to serve the Lord. And we want to help you in that journey by sending you this book free of charge. So right now, if you would, just take your phone out and text I prayed to the number on the screen, or online, type I prayed. We'll send you a response message with a link. Click that link, fill in your name and email address so that we can send you this little booklet. But in the meantime, I encourage those that just prayed, along with every Christian, to do three things so that you can keep growing in your relationship with the Lord. One, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. Thank Him for the good things in your life. Ask Him to help you with whatever problems, difficulties, or decisions you're facing. That's prayer at a very basic level. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. You say, how does God talk to us, Pastor? The number one way God talks to us is through the Bible. That's His word, His message to us. If you don't have a written Bible, a printed Bible, you can download the YouVersion app for free on your phone. That's YOUVersion. You can download it for free on your phone or tablet. You can read there as much as you want. There's never a charge. I encourage you to start reading in 1 John, a little book in the New Testament, tells us who Jesus is and what He's done for us. Just pray before you read, asking God to help you understand. Read a few verses. Whatever you do understand, ask God to help you to put it in practice in your life. If you don't understand something, put it to the side. When you need to understand it, God will help you to know it. Thirdly, get connected to a local church. Don't just attend, but put down roots. Get connected in relationships, because relationships in the body of Christ are an essential part of what we need to grow in our relationship with the Lord. You do those three things, and you'll be growing in your relationship with God on a regular basis. But once again, congratulations. We are so happy for you. For those of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, God is calling us to fix our minds and our hearts on the vision that He has given for us and for this house. Because you know what? God has a vision for your life. And as a member of this church, that vision of what He wants to do through you also fits with the vision that he has for this house. So we need to focus on the vision that God has for us. If you don't yet have a vision for your life, pray and ask God what he wants to do through your life. And it's going to coordinate with the vision that he has for this house. Pray that God give you a vision. Focus on the vision he has given for us in his house so that we will embrace his vision, so that faith will enlarge on the inside, and we will begin to pray and we'll begin to act in line with that vision to make it happen. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. A simple act of faith that we can take starting today so that his vision for this house can be fulfilled is to commit today to pray daily for our church, to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit, to pray for the strengthening of the saints, to pray that God will stir up every one of our heart to go out and share the gospel, to pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit upon every. These are just some of the things we can pray every day, and that God would enlarge our borders, that we may be able to reach more people. Something else we can do is that we can volunteer to serve. Again, you can take one of those connection cards on the pew, fill it out, check off on the back what ministry you want to be a part of, and we'll get you connected with the leader for that ministry. Something else we can do is that we can commit to tithe. If we're not already tithing, let's commit to do that. That's the minimum that God asks of every believer, is to give that 10%. If you're already tithing, then I encourage you to take one of those Heart for the House red cards on the back of your pew and pray and make a commitment, a faith commitment to God, and say, above my tithe, I will give X amount, weekly, monthly, once a year, however you want to do it, however God lays on your heart, and I will do this for the building. These are just some of the steps that we can take now as we act in faith to see God's vision fulfilled. And if you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I want to stand together in faith and in action to see the vision for this house fulfilled, if that's your heart, would you stand to your feet right now and just make your way to this altar? I want to stand in faith and in action to see the vision for this house become a reality. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just make your way to the altar, and let's just spend a few moments in prayer as we make this commitment to the Lord. Hallelujah. If you've got the faith promise card or the connection card with you, you can just lay it right down in here in front of the altar. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. So I pray that as we've heard your word this morning, that our hearts would be enlarged with faith, Lord God, to believe you for the impossible, to believe you for the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore, to believe you to do beyond our wildest imagination, to fulfill your vision for this house. Father, as we stand at this altar, we are standing in unity together, Lord God, saying, Lord God, that we join together in faith. We join together in action to work, to serve, to witness, and to give, to see your vision fulfilled for this house. Father, we commit ourselves to this end today, and we ask you by the help of the Holy Spirit that you will enable us to live out the faith commitment that we make today, for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you. And we hope you will join us again.